Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If you have a Bible question or an issue you'd like to discuss, we invite your calls right now. The number 844-322-2742. Again, that's 844-322-2742. We are live on the air and online, so you can get an immediate answer to your question or discuss the issues that are important to you right now. And we have issues today. So we've opened the phone lines, and again, the toll-free number is 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. I just want to start today's broadcast with some passages out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You know, the Supreme Court decision was made today about gay marriage in America, and has mandated all 50 states to make it legal. There's a lot underneath that. It's not just about gay marriage. It's about states' rights. It's about religious freedom. It's a big, big issue.
Yeah.
And it's being, you know, battled on several different fronts. And, you know, I know there's a big disappointment within the Christian world, and rightfully so. But how in the world do we as Christians respond? How do we go forward? And I think this is where the gospel message really has to come front and center. You can wage a battle on religious freedom here in America. You can wage a battle about federal authority versus states' rights. You can wage all of those sort of things. And the way America was set up, the way the Founding Fathers set it up, was state rights supersede federal authority. And that's why so many issues haven't been handled at a federal level, and I don't think this one should have been handled at a federal level at all.
Right.
There's the fighting it on the religious freedom front. What is this going to mean to us? And we want to protect those freedoms. But now that the decision has been made, what are we as believers going to do? How are we going to respond to this? How are we going to move forward? And as I said, this is where the gospel message needs to come front and center: the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It talks about the fact that Paul says, I no longer see anybody according to the flesh. That God had given him new eyes, fresh eyes, life eyes, to see the world and all the issues of the world and the people of the world from God's perspective, not from a human perspective. And I think that's what the gospel message allows us to do in situations like this. There are the issues. There are the political decisions. There are the Supreme Court decisions. Those are things.
Yes.
But God focuses our eyes on people. Jesus Christ died for people. Jesus Christ was raised again for people. Jesus Christ is doing a work here today in the lives of people. This decision from the Supreme Court will not stop the work of Jesus.
No.
We may think it does, but believe me, Jesus will continue his work. What is the government of the United States to Jesus Christ? As our friend Joe Battaglia wrote in his book, The Politically Incorrect Jesus, when we start waving the flag above the cross, we're in trouble.
Indeed.
And this gives us an opportunity as believers in Christ, people who have been given Jesus himself, who have Christ living in them, who know God, to bring that knowledge of God forth in such a way that it can connect people to the love of Jesus Christ. That's our mandate. That's our calling. That's what we do moving forward. Why? Because God is interested in people. Jesus is doing a work. We can be a part of it, or we can sit on the sideline. I encourage you to be a part of it. Let this gospel message come front and center in your everyday life and your sphere of influence so that you can tell others about the one true God, what he's really like in the person of Jesus Christ.
Great admonition, Bob, as we get Basic Gospel underway on this particular edition. Friends, if you'd like to join the conversation, we have an open line for you right now, 844-322-2742. Plenty of open lines, plenty of time, your opportunity to voice your opinion on this particular subject or pose a question, whatever you'd like to talk about, we'd like to discuss it with you. 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Patsy listening to us in Brooklyn on WMCA. Hi, Patsy. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Yeah, hello.
Hello. Welcome.
You want me to make a statement about what the signing of the same-sex marriage?
Do you have a question about that, or do you have a comment?
No,
if you would like to make a comment, you're welcome to do so.
Comment I like to make. I don't think I know that it's not a good thing to do, because God made man and male and female to marry, not the same sex. And by signing that statement today, America is doomed to be destroyed by God, because just like Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed, America will be destroyed very soon, because their sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered all their iniquities, okay?
Yeah.
So they're bringing God's wrath faster on America, okay?
Well, Patsy, we appreciate your comments on that. And again, that should really pierce our hearts as believers, that we have an opportunity to bring the true knowledge of God to people within this country, people within our spheres of influence. If you ask the average person on the street, what do you think of God? What's your idea about God? Is it going to match what the Word of God has to say about God? Is it going to align itself with what Jesus has revealed to us about the one true God? Absolutely not. Most of us are going to think of God as judgmental, as angry, as just that guy up there just waiting for us to mess up so he can bring down wrath and anger and all of those sort of things. But in Jesus, we see truth. We see truth that God truly is love, that God extends grace to us to do something for us that we could not do for ourselves, that he brings life. I mean, the whole world is under condemnation. And the world itself, the earth itself, the universe itself is just waiting. It's just waiting for the redemption. Well, we're the first fruits of that redemption. Let's proclaim that from the rooftops.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got the knowledge of God. Let's bring that to the world, folks. Let's take what we know about Jesus to the world. That's the only thing that's going to make a difference.
Absolutely. A question I've been trying to work in for several days from our friend Lucy in San Diego, and she said a friend and she and a friend had had a discussion. She was adamant, the friend was, in saying God is judging America. And Lucy says, I disagreed with her. I said that God is not judging nations under the new covenant. That's kind of what you were talking about earlier, Bob. He is dealing with individuals. She thought that all the bad weather they were having, for instance, was judgment from God for Americans and that we deserved it. And she said, I asked her not to include me in that judgment. It was all friendly, but I would like to find the specific verses that say the judgment of God is reserved for the end, the day of the Lord. Can you comment on that and offer any of those scriptures?
Well, I think there's numerous scriptures. The book of Revelation talks about the white throne judgment. Mm-hmm. And Richard, describe for us what that white throne judgment is all about.
The way Revelation describes it is that all of the dead, whether they were standing there or whether they were raised up from the sea or from other graves or whatever, the dead are judged, and they're judged on the basis of one thing. Is each individual's name in the Lamb's Book of Life? If it is not, then they get to pay for all of their unbelief and the sin that resulted from that core sin of unbelief. If your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, you are saved. You will never face that great white throne judgment. And so God has promised that he is going to wipe out sin and death and sorrow and tears and all that pain. He's going to recreate the heavens and the earth. He is going to make his dwelling with his people. And that's one of the most hopeful things I can imagine. God makes the decision. I don't. I don't have the right to damn someone. I do have the right to bring them to Jesus and offer reconciliation.
And the authority to do so.
Yes.
Well, what about nations? We read in the Old Testament,
yes,
God was very clear about his judgment against both Israel and Judah when they wandered off and started worshiping other gods, the nations around them because of their idolatry and that sort of thing. Did all that just go away? Is there a continual judgment against nations today? What does the Word of God have to say to that? Do we find anything like that in the New Testament as far as judgment against nations?
Well, in the first place, the Mosaic Covenant in the Old Testament, Mosaic Covenant was between God and Israel for the express purpose of protecting a people so that the Messiah could be brought to the earth through that people. God was in charge of that whole group of people, and he wanted his character to be reflected within them. They were radically different than the tribes around them until they started copying the tribes around them. And there were judgments for that, but it's because God was directly in charge of Israel, and when he raised up other countries to punish them, if they took credit for the punishment, he rose up against them, just like he did against Israel. That all found its fulfillment in Jesus. Jesus, as we were just talking about in 2 Corinthians 5, became sin so that the whole world could be reconciled to God. Nations, people, individual countries, churches, governments, all of that stuff goes away except for the individual and their standing before God. And so where we see nations talked about in Revelation again is when you read about the fall of Babylon. Babylon represents this conglomeration of false religion and the world system. Satan is in charge of all of that. And the way it's described is that all of the kings of the earth and all the merchantmen of the earth and all the sailors of the earth have bowed down to this false god, Babylon, Satan, the beast, the great dragon, and they have, the way the Bible describes it, is committed adultery with that system. Well, what that means is they have rejected a relationship with God in Jesus Christ for their own best efforts. And God judges that whole thing, but it's not any individual nation. It's all people, all organizations that have rejected Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's a big system out there.
It's a big system,
isn't it? So, is there? Let me ask this. I think it's a good point of discussion. You know, America was founded on Judeo-Christian principles.
Yes.
There was, a lofty view of a freedom of religion, being free to express our heartfelt convictions without government interference.
Yes.
That's important. That's why this decision today is an important issue as far as Christians are concerned. Will this limit our freedom of religious expression in
Time
the future?
Will tell.
And it could very well do
yes.
that. Are we able to say what the Word of God has to say about certain activities? Can we still say adultery is sin? Can we still say homosexuality is sin? Can we still say these things are sin based on what the Word of God has to say without recourse for that? Because it's just expressing what the book that we claim is authoritative in our lives is actually saying. Now, does that mean that we... or not acting in love towards somebody? Absolutely not. Truth is what sets us free. If we don't know we need a Savior, we'll never turn to Jesus to be saved.
Yes.
So there's some importance to that as far as we're concerned. But we've seen, just the consistent erosion of moral values within our culture, and it started at the very beginning.
Oh, yes.
I mean, it wasn't like we went up; we got better. We started, and then we just kind of keep inching our way.
It's not
down.
Like our founding fathers were perfect,
right?
I mean that we don't confuse ourselves with that sort of thing. But what they set up was a means by which disparate groups of people could still get along. And what I'm personally afraid of is that we've lost that ability. Mm-hmm. Now it seems that everything is characterized by its ability to separate people rather than unite people. What we want to do is have wedge issues, to drive a wedge between different constituencies. That's not the way to run a country. It really isn't. We've seen that around the world, in the history of the world, that whenever wedges have been successfully driven into various nations in various parts of history, it costs those nations. I think we're going to be cost to pay a price for our own wedges.
They've unleashed a scourge on this country by this, I believe.
Yeah.
So, you know, as we see this moral decline, this erosion of values, and we make decisions that are opposed to the clear teaching of the Word of God, opposed to what we hold in our hearts, what we hold just as individuals about what's right and what's wrong. When we start moving away from those things, do those choices have consequences within themselves? So in other words, you know, when we choose as a country to go away from the clear teaching of the Word of God, will that choice in and of itself have consequences?
Yes, it will.
Not from a sense of judgment, but just, you know, if I choose to jump off the roof, I'm going to go splat on the ground.
Yes.
That's a consequence of the choice. It's built in. It's inherent with the choice itself.
Yeah, but notice that it's not that suddenly, you know, Washington is going, the earth is going to open and swallow Washington, D.C. No. But what this represents is the institutionalization of a way of thinking that rejects Jesus Christ. That's the issue. We've rejected Jesus, and by definition, we've rejected God, and we're doing our best to act the way we think we should act, and all we've done, really, is make it more divisive rather than more unifying.
Right. And I think that's one of the things that we've seen in America for, you know, the last 50 years. Instead of unifying our citizenship, we've drawn more lines.
Yes.
We've drawn more lines as far as race is concerned. You know, you apply for a job, and you have to put your race down. Why in the world do we do that? Well, we want statistics. We want data. And then we use that data to push each other further away from each other. We're just people. We're just Americans. And it doesn't matter what our skin color is. Jesus Christ died for us. Jesus Christ was raised so that we could have life. In Christ, there's none of that.
Yeah.
He's bringing unity. He's not making us uniform. But he's bringing unity within the midst of our diversity. And that is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. I mean, it's just a powerful thing. But we keep drawing more lines. We keep adding more and more lines. And we keep pushing people to one side or the other. And if you're on this side, you can't like the people on that side. And you can't even talk to them. And that's the crazy thing. When did it change that we couldn't have conversations? When did it change that we couldn't talk about the big issues of life civilly, you know, as one person to another?
Yeah, have a huge disagreement, but then go out for lunch.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. We need to get back to that, and I think the gospel allows us to get back to that.
Yeah, great discussion on this broadcast that we call Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher is here, Richard Piper. My name is Bob Davis, and thank you for joining us. We have open lines and time on the clock, 844-322-2742. Come in and join us, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Patrick in Dallas listening to us on the Word. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Going well. Nice to hear from you today. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to comment on the gay marriage issue. So I actually disagree with some of the callers that have been calling in. I happen to think that it should be legal. I'm actually a Christian. But I feel that all the reasons I hear for, gay marriage being illegal is that, you know, they're religious reasons. And I personally agree that gay marriage is not a moral thing. But the problem is that in the United States with a secular government, I just don't feel that we should be able to make laws, you know, because of religious reasons, because that calls into question you know, the ability of others to practice freedom of religion who don't necessarily.
Well, the argument against that, Patrick, is that that marriage isn't an American institution. Marriage was something that God instituted at the very beginning when He made male and female, and there was a reason for that union, and that was for the population of the world. Man and woman coming together to have children. We've turned it into more of a romantic notion, and so the argument has been, who can say that I can't love this person or that person? Well, that's not what marriage is all about. Marriage is about a family unit. It's about the very fabric of every society, not just our society.
Right. And I agree with that as a Christian. I do think that that's what marriage is in a moral sense. But the problem is that not everybody's Christian in America, right? And we all have the ability, you know, from the Constitution, it's separation of church and state. We have the freedom to not be Christian or to be Christian. And so for the people who aren't Christian, say they're some religion that, you know, doesn't think that marriage is from God, for instance, they're just kind of left hanging out to dry based on what the Christians want. And even though I'm a Christian, I feel that that's not fair because we don't have a national religion.
Well, Patrick, thanks for your comments today. We appreciate that.
Yeah,
really,
and it does get it at some of the complexity of an issue like this.
Yeah. Well, and the fact of the matter, I mean, nobody has been robbed of that opportunity to love whoever they want to. I mean, that's happening today. It has been happening. So that's not an issue at all. It's just pushing that agenda to make it a legal marital unit.
Yeah.
And when you look and see, and it's not just, you know, Christian societies that have held marriage in such high regard. It's been every single society.
Yes.
Every single one. Apart from marriage, apart from that union, apart from, there's going to be no society at all. So it's not just a Christian thing as far as only Christians holding marriage up at that high level. Every single society throughout history has done the same.
Yeah.
Well, let's go to Jack in Decatur, Texas, listening to us on The Word. Hi, Jack.
Yes, good afternoon. I just wanted to say that I'm extremely disappointed. I could barely work today after that, hearing about that decision. I know it was coming down the pipe for a very long time, and I knew it was going to be a close decision because, there was four that were totally for it and four that were more conservative, and there was just one, and it would be up to them, you know. I think it was Kennedy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But anyways, you're exactly right what you just told this last caller. He is ignorant of the fact that in India last year they banned and they made it any sexual act, any homosexual act in India is illegal. And, there was a lot of Westerners.
Well, there's a lot of countries that, you know, you certainly can do that in the Middle East as well. So,
right.
Yeah.
But they asked the head over there of the parliament, the Indian parliament, who is not a Christian. He's not a Christian. He's a Hindu. And they asked him about the decision, and he said that it was best for India because he feels that it goes against nature.
Yeah. Well, Jack, we're about out of time on today's broadcast. Thanks for your comments today. We certainly appreciate that.
Yes, indeed.
I think as we close out the program, I want to get back to that passage. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in that way, we do so no longer. This is an opportunity for us as believers to tell people about the love of Jesus Christ, that He has reconciled them unto Himself, and that He is no longer counting their sins against them. We've been given authority to carry that news to the world. Let's do so with passion, with energy, with everything in us. The world needs to hear.
Absolutely. Thanks to so many of you who stand with us day by day and month by month in supporting this broadcast. We appreciate that, and we hope that you'll continue the good work. And thanks for joining us today, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer and the ministry team, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us again on Monday for another live edition of Basic Gospel.